Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Cubs win.
Gordon Whittenmeyer taking you inside the Cubs clubhouse.
Cubs win.
Chicago Cubs. Yeah.
Gordon Whittenmeyer.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Gordon Whittenmeyer joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Hey, Gordon, how are you?
Hey, Gordon.
I'm doing well, hanging in there. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're really pumped up. This is a huge week for baseball, and we're really anxious to get to phase two. So let's get through this one.
Yeah, it's going to be a big week. Obviously, the proposal is the formal proposal from MLB is going to go to the union today. And I don't know, this week, we should know, I would think, by the end of the week, kind of where we stand in terms of how possible this looks and how fast. I do think that this idea of they want to get a 3-week spring training in and start sometime roughly the 4th of July gives them some time beyond this week. I know some people have talked about, you know, this is the big week, but I wouldn't be surprised either if it pushes back a week, or even if whatever they consider their deadline for getting something done gets pushed back. These things usually go in all dealings with the union, go right down to the deadline, whatever that is. They haven't set one. And if they get close, and the timeline looks in doubt, they might even push it back a little bit. But I do think something ultimately will get done.
Gordon, you posted a story on NBCSportsChicago.com over the weekend that is worth addressing. The headline is, Why Cubs MLB Might Face 2020 Season Without Key Players and What It Means. And you reference certain examples from Mike Trout to Anthony Rizzo to Yu Darvish about guys who might be reluctant to come back under the circumstances, even if an agreement is struck, because of the risks that are involved. What are you hearing, and how realistic is it that each team might be confronted with having a player, whether it's a star player or a role player, who does not want to come back given the health risks?
There's almost certainly going to be some players, whether that's half a dozen or dozens, who opt out of playing over health issues, or real health issues, like they have underlying conditions. They have somebody at home with a pre-existing condition. They have imminent risk factors. And there might be some that just have concerns and don't feel like doing it. But one thing that in my conversations with people on the inside of these negotiations, this is very important to the union. The union is going to want some assurances of protection for anybody that may want individually to opt out of playing this year over concerns, safety concerns. And I think, you know, looking at that 67-page document, even if MLB implemented everything that's in there and the union approved it, that falls far short of any certainties. And I don't know that you can't in this environment. You know, we don't have effective treatments. Certainly no vaccine. Testing is limited. In a best case scenario, we don't the antibody tests that have been done, we don't know how reliable they are, and they haven't shown anything remotely close to herd immunity. So there's going to be risk and possibly substantial for some people. So it is important to the union that these protections be built in. And once that happens, now you're going to have people that have a decision to make. Mike Trout has a first child due in August and has already said he's not going to miss that. Well, under the protocols, that would break the protocols. He essentially wouldn't be allowed under the guidelines to go to the hospital, much less spend a lot of time with his wife ahead of time, it would appear. So he said he wants to play, said he plans to play, but he's not missing that. And if that means making the choice, he's made it pretty clear that'll be his choice. In the case of the Cubs, Yu Darvish was the first one who expressed publicly real concern over this. The minute he showed up to spring training, he went to team officials and said, look, I'm going to be dealing more often with people coming over from Japan who want my time, media and so on. And what are you doing to protect me from this? This was before in this country we had, you know, everything was distant to us, right? And this was a disease in another country. He was following every bit of news coming out of every part of the world on just how serious this thing was, and he was taking it seriously. He bought his way out of some appearances that he had scheduled in January. Tens of thousands of dollars paid to get out of these things because they involve people coming over from Asia to be in the same room with him. I don't know what his feelings are on this. I tried to reach him directly. I tried to get an answer through his agent, and nobody would give me an answer. So I don't know where he is on this, but I know he takes it very seriously. And I'm not saying that he would opt out necessarily. But I could see it. And if he did, where does that leave the Cubs competitively?
Right. That would be an unbelievable blow for the Cubs. You know, John Lester has underlying health issues. He was on the station this weekend and sounded like he's getting ready to gear up and just needs a date. But it occurs to you that, wow, I mean, this is a cancer.
Well, yeah, and Anthony Rizzo. And Anthony Rizzo, same thing as Lester. He expresses a desire. He's going to come back. He says doctors have told him he's at no greater risk than anybody else. I saw a story in the LA Times. Dave Roberts, a cancer survivor, said his doctor, I believe the team doctor, told him the same thing, that he's not at any greater risk than he would have been at. Now, that's not what the CD said a while back, but maybe these are, you know, in individual cases, these guys have rebuilt. I don't know. In the case of Rizzo, he's 30 years old and Lester's a few years older than that, but you know, they beat back the disease a long time ago. Maybe they've whatever's transpired since has put them in a better place. I don't know. They plan to play, but yeah, it doesn't take much imagination to start going team to team and player to player in some cases and suggesting, well, this guy or this guy. I mean, it takes one or two key guys on any team to really change the entire calculus of what your competitive season might look like.
All right, Gordon, let's stay optimistic and let's assume that there's going to be a half a season and baseball is going to start the first week in July. And you look at the Cubs, and are there players, whether they're veterans or prospects, that might be treated differently or might respond differently to the fact that there are no fans in the stands? And whether it's you're going to bring up somebody who you might be less inclined to do so because of the atmosphere, the stage being too big for him, or somebody who just is better under those kind of sterile circumstances. Does anybody come to mind when I ask that?
Well, the players and the ex-players that I've talked to have said it's really hard to tell because and maybe some of them kind of privately have their idea of who it might be. But some guys, we've seen it, right? Some guys in the biggest of big, huge moments seem to always step up. And those are the ones that really feed off the crowd and all the attention and all the eyes on them. Other ones, not so much. We've heard cases over the years of guys that can't handle New York, for instance. That used to be a thing. And so that's what will be really interesting to watch, because there are some guys that are going to have trouble, you know, sort of getting emotionally up for games with no fans. I think that'll be a deal. I don't know how they'll compensate for that. I've heard theories, you know, of how you might pump a noise into the stadium, but still no fans in the stands is going to be pretty dramatic. So I don't know how predictable that is as far as calling guys up because of sort of the lesser environment. I don't know that that's going to dictate that. You're going to have taxi squads supposedly under these new plans. I think it's just that's all going to be a competitive thing. I think I think there'll just be probably less of a decision to make of whether we do it at home. The Cubs have tended because the home environment is so unique and always capacity. And then there's Wrigley Field and the whole thing. They've tended to debut their guys on the road, mm-hmm. oftentimes in small market stadiums. So that might go away. That decision might go away because it'll all be basically the same. But beyond that, I don't think there's really a way to predict player to player.
I'm fascinated at the idea of trying to figure out what you do with guys who were injured and guys that might need to play when you don't have a minor league system and guys, you know, this probably is more with the White Sox. They've had so many pitchers that have gone down. You know, how do you fill up your final 20, if you will? And I understand the idea is if someone gets sick, you got someone there. Time of service can't matter in this kind of situation, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I don't think so. You mean as far as manipulating service time and things like that?
Well, you can't. There's no point. You got to make sure that doesn't come into play, I would say.
Right, right. Absolutely. And the other thing to remember is that there's already been assurances made to guys on 40-man rosters who were still in camp when camps closed. So some of those guys, until something more formal is put in place, are basically already earning service time. So you've got that. I think this is so unique that I tell you what, if those kinds of issues do come into play, that's going to hurt an already strained tone for the imminent CBA negotiations.
Gordon, whether it's the Cubs or other teams, do you think teams are more likely to try out 4-man rotations or 6-man rotations as they kind of look at this compressed spring training and shortened season?
I would think you'd ideally like to identify a sixth guy, if only to piggyback the first couple of weeks, because there is going to be such a short ramp up time before the season starts. I'd be really surprised if anybody tries to go with fewer than five guys. There aren't going to be, you know, you're probably going to get at least one less start in spring training for your starters, so that, you know, the idea of a guy coming out of the gate and giving you 100 pitches and six plus innings probably is less likely. So you're looking at, you know, maybe hoping to get five out of your guy in a good start. You're going to want more pitchers, not fewer. And that's going to, you know, does that mean that the hitters have a big advantage? Usually pitchers come out of spring training with the advantage, and not only that, but, you know, for weather reasons as well. It really is going to be it'll be must watch TV for a whole bunch of reasons, and one is just it's going to be fascinating to see how the circumstances impact the play. I mean, is it suddenly going to be it was already an offensive league. Is it going to be even more offensive this year? I don't know. A lot of things, just a lot of things that are going to be worth watching.
Great stuff, Gordon. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Gordon.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
You too.
That's Gordon Whitmire.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.